variety, culture, and class in America. Live from Long Island's Gold Coast, this is the Melissa Itell Duran Show on Breaking It Down Radio with co-host Frank McKay.
I'd like to welcome everyone back to the Melissa Itell Duran Show. Frank McKay here, urging everyone to go to melissaitelduran.com. You could see two documentaries there showing the Renaissance woman, and she is an absolute Renaissance woman. She does so many things, and she does them so well. Melissa Itell Duran, how are you?
Oh, thank you, Frank. Yeah, I'm doing okay. Got through Thanksgiving, and I hope your family had a lovely one as well. And just watching to see, I guess, how the rest of the holiday weekend goes.
Yeah, well, same here. And I'm also watching to see how President-elect Biden is going to pick his cabinet. And and you touched on it a little bit at the end of the show. You know, is there going to be animosity? He's got payback to the left for him, you know, I guess, taking it over. Senator Bernie Sanders, and he's got a lot of angry people there, and Labor Secretary is what Bernie wants. Is he going to get that, and what does everyone else look like? How is it lining up for everyone else?
Well, I think we're seeing the return of the Obama people, the swamp creatures. He recently... he just announced that Anthony Blinken, whom I'm really not that familiar with, but apparently was the Deputy Secretary of State during the Obama years, is now going to take the helm of the State Department. I have some interesting information about him because there's 7 degrees of separation somehow. I know somebody who knows his family. Now, I can get to that in a minute. And he's asked Janet Yellen, the former Fed chair, to be the Secretary of Treasury. I believe that was a job that Elizabeth Warren was jockeying for, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, boy. Oh, they're not going to be happy about that.
No. And I haven't heard about her reaction to it. I mean, Janet Yellen is known for putting bigger things, you know, in the forefront rather than, you know, worrying about, you know, I guess the common, the rest, the common good, the people, which is what the progressives would like. They want her to take care of, you know, layoffs and discrepancies with that. And she's looking at, you know, how do I balance the budget? Maybe I'll have to tax more. Maybe I'll have to do this. Maybe I'll have to do that rather than, you know, the individual cases. So that might come up as a problem, as a possible controversy. But it remains to be seen. I mean, Janet Yellen is a known entity, no doubt. And, you know, it's very telling that Elizabeth Warren was passed over for that job for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, and it's interesting to see if there's going to be a bloodbath behind the scenes. I don't know how much we'll hear. I don't know how quiet they'll keep it. I imagine you're going to have to count on Fox to give us those dirty details, because CNN I think is going, and MSNBC, they're gonna probably try those two companies are going to probably try to make it sound like Kumbaya. I'm not sure. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm sure that, you know, CNN and MSNBC, I think, want to, you know, put the best face forward, because let's face it, but they did help get Biden and push Biden out to the front, you know, of the election. And this was an election to defeat Trump. It wasn't necessarily for Biden, as I've said before.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, people did not line up for hours because they wanted Biden so badly. This was about getting rid of Trump. I couldn't, you know, I just couldn't see this when they message that it was everybody under the sun, from celebrities and Hollywood and Meghan Markle of all people, saying go out and vote. Well, it's not about just vote and exercise your right. It's you have to vote for Biden, vote against Trump, vote against Trump. That was the whole message, and you know,
100%.
Right, and now, I don't know. We'll see. I think you're going to see, after, as soon as things settle in, is after the, you know, the honeymoon period, that all the presidents get after their inaugural, you're going to start seeing these little fissions coming up. You know, AOC is going to say something. What about us? What, you know, how progressive are you, Joe? And we, you know, we helped you get ahead. You weren't our pick of the bunch, but, you know, now that you're here, what are you doing for us?
Yeah. Well, yeah, listen, this is a big deal. Biden politically is pragmatic, right? I mean, let's face it, right? Mm-hmm. He's a pragmatic guy. I don't think there is any chance that we are going to see a complete, dissing. Is that the right word? Yeah. I don't think we're going to see that from the left. I don't think Biden is that clueless that he's going to that he's going to miss out on that. Either he is going to give them something that they want, or they're going to figure out what he wants. And one way or another, he's gonna make it right with these people. My big question is, are they going to have to pay through the nose? Are they going to have to, give their firstborn, so to speak? What are they going to have to give up to make the left happy? Kamala is not it, right? I mean, Kamala is not the not the end all for the left. Maybe she is, but I don't know if she's their guy, so to speak. Uh-huh. Again, Frank McKay here with Melissa Itell-Jern. Your thoughts on that, right? I mean, how much does Kamala, give the left, and do they appease? Does she appease them at all?
Well, I think in some ways she does, although they claim that she's middle of the road. She's not this Marxist, I guess ghost writer that the right is portraying her to be. Although I think if you look at her record, you'll see that there is a predilection on her part for going outside the box. You know, yeah. She's done that when she was district attorney, when she was attorney general, and some of her statements, if I recall correctly, have been about exercising presidential power beyond the confines of the Constitution through executive orders and whatnot. And she's, laughs about it. She laughs about a lot of things. I guess that can be good, right? You know, you need a sense of humor when you're telling people, well, we're going to have martial law.
Yeah, it is very possible that the left does not consider Kamala Harris a concession at all. Yes, she is a woman of color.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
She is, she is out of the box as far as I... Yes, she was anti-Biden during that during that presidential run of hers, you know, which, like you said, was not a great presidential run. But let's be fair here for a moment. President-elect Biden had a terrible presidential run when President Obama or Senator Obama became, right? You remember he was there and he had an abject failure campaign, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, probably very similar to what Kamala Harris. The only thing is that Kamala Harris at one moment, and you and I talked about this, at one moment in time, Kamala was leading. She was she was leading the way. She had a big moment there,
right,
and then
the
wheels fell off.
Right, that happened on the heels of that whole Biden. That little girl, that was me.
Yeah,
that whole thing. And
right.
You could tell she thought she had cinched it, and then he went ahead and chose her. And I guess there are no hard feelings in politics. You know, you can just eviscerate each other, and then at the end, you know, shake hands. I guess they do that. In Congress. They do that in the Senate, and then they're having lunch together. I mean,
they kill each other, and then it's like, no big deal.
What the hell? Yeah, I'll see you. I'll see you at the bar. Yeah. Get my drinks ahead of time. Sure. You know what I like. Order for me.
Wow. But you're absolutely right. The one thing in politics is that, hey, no hard feelings. You know, I did this to you and I did that to you.
Right.
And I know I called you a bigot, basically. But, you know, all is forgiven. And if you can, pick me for vice president. Yeah, here you go.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's,
why not?
Yeah. I wonder why he picked her specifically. And I'm not saying it was a bad pick. Right. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, why did he pick her?
He had
other choices, and why?
True.
Yeah, but why did he pick her?
Well, I guess she checked off all the boxes, and she has a very inspiring story, and she's got political insights, and she's got she's pretty shrewd, he had to check off all the boxes, and she didn't qualify for that. Now he didn't interview others. He vetted the Atlanta mayor, but she's not that well known. I mean, she's just coming into her own. He vetted the Florida congresswoman who is the former police chief.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be her. Remember, I was predicting that it was going to be her.
Yes, I liked her. She came across terrific. She was very warm, but her problem. She wore the badge, and in Black Lives Matter circles,
bad.
That's not good. That's
badge is bad.
If you're black and you wear the badge, you're not black. You're blue. So that went out the window.
Yeah.
Stacey Abrams had been campaigning for herself for months. You know, choose me. I'm great. I'm here.
Yeah.
I think there would have been a problem on many fronts with Stacey Abrams.
Yeah.
And I guess his safe choice. Was Kamala Harris, and you know, if you look at her resume, she also has a nice family picture. She's married to a Jewish man. She is a loving stepmother. She's called Mamala by her stepchildren.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, so that's a very endearing term. So, in the campaign's mind, she's very appealing. And of course, you have to have because of his age. He's 78 now. He turned 78, I think, a week ago. You have to have somebody there just in case. So I'm hoping, you know, if he survives past January 21st, then we'll see how the administration progresses. I mean, all bets are that he's going to drop out. Something's going to happen. I'm not wishing this.
Yeah.
Stay, you know, Joe. Stay well. Have people surrounding you at all times.
Wow.
Try to make it through the 4 years. And if you don't want to run again, which I don't think he will, I think he said he's only going to do a term.
There's no way he runs again. No way.
No. You know, Trump, on the other hand, could probably run. He is going to.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, and when I say no doubt.
He wants to pull a Grover Cleveland.
Yep, that's for sure. Yeah, he is poised to do something like that. But again... Yeah. He's in his 70s. Anything can happen.
Right.
I always say in politics, you know, just be careful. And two, you know, because somebody says, oh, it's only 2 years away. I said, in politics, 2 years, everybody can be dead or indicted.
That's right.
In 2 years.
Yeah.
And it's so true. Often more true than not. Melissa, I tell Joran.com, everyone, go there as a starting point and binge listen to everything we've been doing on iHeartRadio.com, radio.com, radio.net. RadioUK.net, Spotify, and certainly SoundCloud. Frank McKay here with Melissa Eitel-Jern. Yeah, I mean, in terms of the left, and this is kind of where we started. What do you think he has to do if he gives Bernie the labor secretary? It probably makes up for a lot of ill will, and that's what Bernie wants. If you make Bernie happy. You got it. I mean, does Bernie get through the Republican Senate? Do they stop him? Do they fight against this? What happens with Bernie Sanders?
Oh, I'm sure they're going to do something. They're not going to let that slide. I mean, it may be a popular thing for the left, for the AOC crowd, but it's going to be very contentious in the Senate. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he's got to do that. And the fact that we're seeing a lot of folks, you know, and I guess maybe would say Obama retreads, you know, that's the harsh way of looking at it. But people that have experience from the Obama administration would be how the positive take on that would be. Those folks the fact that Joe Biden and President-elect Biden is on his way to doing a lot of that and is talking about a lot of that makes it sound to me that he's going to give Bernie what Bernie wants. If you get into a, well, there's a, I almost used a bad word, but if you get into a hissy fit match with Bernie Sanders, you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
You're in trouble. He can't do that starting off the new administration. He just can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. He can't. Can't happen. But we have to see how these confirmation hearings are going. And by the way, the choice for Secretary of State is Anthony Blinken, who was the Deputy Secretary of State during the Obama years under Kerry. I don't know about, I'm not sure about during Hillary's time, but Blinken has a lot of connections. And through, I guess, 7 degrees of separation, I actually know someone who knows the family.
Wow.
Blinken. Yes.
Yeah. Well, so what do you have a good feeling about Blinken? Some people call him Tony, right? Tony
yes,
Blinken.
Tony Blinken.
Tony
yeah.
Blinken.
Yeah.
But do you have a good feeling from what you hear about Tony Blinken or a bad feeling?
I'm getting mixed vibes.
Yeah.
That although he may have the right connections, you know, Harvard, his father is a billionaire. His parents are divorced. His stepfather is Samuel Pizarro, very well-known attorney, Holocaust survivor of three camps.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, remarkable man. And the person I knew Samuel Pizarro and knew the Samuel Pizarro's wife, the mother of Tony Blinken, way back in Paris and other places. And, yeah, there were connections there for him. And obviously, Samuel, because he spent most of his time in Paris with his mother, he attended an American a French-American school where they did a dual language curriculum, and he is fluent in French. And through, I don't know, did a lot of different channels, he was able to get politically connected. Whether he can match Mike Pompeo, that's another matter altogether.
Right, right.
And the big question is, what's going to happen to Israel?
Yeah, that's a big deal. And it sounds like Blinken has some, well, should have some sensitivity to Jewish affairs and certainly some respect for Israel with his background. And that would make me feel good. Are you confident that he's a good pick for Israel?
No, I'm not confident that anyone in the Biden administration is a good choice for Israel, because number one, you know what they're going to do right away. First off, they're going to go back to the Iran deal.
Yeah.
The worst deal ever.
Yeah, terrible.
Now, I think
terrible.
Horrible, horrible. But I think that the Trump people, Trump and his son-in-law, if he's still doing this now, I don't know, but they're working behind the scenes to ensure that the Israeli and Arab Emirates and Bahrain accords that what is in place now in the Middle East is not going to be touched. They're going to try to stymie the Biden administration because that was remarkable what happened in the Middle East. You know, terrific accomplishments and I know some people will say, oh, but he's a monster and he's an anti-Semite. That I can't fathom. I can't understand that part. But
no.
What happened in the Middle East should stay. And I don't think Biden is going to take the U.S. embassy out of Jerusalem, but they're definitely going to go back to the Iran deal. And they're going to enter the Paris Climate Accords. They're going to go back to that, which is not that great. People don't realize it's not, it wasn't, there was nothing going on there. It's nothing of great consequence. And to have the U.S., you know, pull the hull, you know, carry the load for the rest of the, you know, the NATO nations, I think is not a good move. But because of popular opinion, they're going to go back into that. And the most worrisome is the Iran deal.
Yeah, just crazy. I mean, it's crazy. See, again, I would say, well, let's wait and see how it plays out. And I guess I'll still say that. But the problem is, if you're bringing in all the same people that made the decisions for the Iran deal, you have to ask yourself, were they just was this Obama insisting to them, this is what we must do for the Iran deal, or was this a collective agreement that all of them went upon? And does Biden have different feelings about Israel? The fact that Kamala Harris, and again, we're here with Melissa Eitel-Jurin on the Melissa Eitel-Jurin Show. Frank McKay here with Melissa. Melissa, the fact that Kamala is Mamala to a Jewish man's children, and she has stepchildren, and she has a husband who is Jewish. Should that shed some sunshine on the fact that maybe she'll speak up about the Iran deal? I'd be very impressed if she did.
No, I don't think she'll. That will change it in their opinions. I mean, they want to go back into it. I mean, Biden is going to be easy on China. He's always been in China's pocket. And just because they have their Jewish connections here doesn't mean anything. Kamala mentioned that she wants to give equal time to the Palestinians. She wants to give them aid.
Okay, there we go. That's bad. But
people aren't saying anything. They wanted to get the Trump administration out so badly that Biden's in whatever. I mean, we never envisioned this, but they went to vote not because of Biden, because he's so scintillating and compelling. He's from 50 years ago. No, they just wanted to drive Trump out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. One of the things that comes to mind as we close here. Is someone said a racehorse always runs to form. And what they mean by that, and I don't know much about horse racing, but they say if he's an inside or she's an inside runner, that you can start her on the outside, but eventually she'll always get on the inside if that's what she was trained to do, if that's what she had success doing. If she's an outside runner, you can start her on the inside, but she will run to the outside. The question here, and again, it's almost a rhetorical question, is can you expect somebody who we've been watching for 47 years behave a certain way? Saw the Obama administration, and again, if you agree with Obama administration, you're going to be very happy, maybe, right? Because his vice president is taking over here, and he's picking a lot of the old Obama folks for 8 years that worked with Biden and Obama Biden. But here's the question: can this racehorse break stride and change the way he's been driving while riding for 47 years? One would think not.
No. And he's got pressure to appease the left, although I'm not seeing that in these cabinet picks. Not yet.
Just crazy. Melissa, I'm sure you joining me wishing everyone a happy holiday weekend and the start of a really big holiday season coming up. And
I think the next time
we talk, we'll be talking in December. Melissa.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank. And thanks to everyone for listening and sticking with us. And just stay safe. Just be, stay well. That's the most important thing.
No question about it. And to everyone out there, we urge you all to enjoy safely your holiday season. And again, we're going to get through it. And vaccines are on the horizon. And, I think light is at the end of the tunnel. It might get darkest before the dawn. I think we're in a better situation than we were months ago. And these vaccines are on the rise. Frank McKay here. We'll see you next time on the Melissa Itell Jurin Show.
You've been listening to Melissa Itell-Jurin and co-host Frank McKay on Breaking It Down Radio.